All right, welcome back, Nation. Segment here brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There is never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Okay, Block of the Boys did a nice piece of work here today. Dak Prescott's gone quite viral for being ranked sixth overall. I think it's a fair ranking. I think anything between about six and, or maybe even like four and nine or ten, I think is a very reasonable range for Dak. But of course, there are the doubters out there. Not many.
Mm-hmm.
You know. I think if you are in the Dak doubter category, it's time to take a look in the mirror and ask yourself, am I the problem here? Am I too dug in? Leave your thoughts on the Franklin injury attorney text line. I think, you know, how he's transitioned with poor offensive line play, and he's really been going and playing without great offensive lines for a couple of years now. I think broke a lot of people's spirit. You know, yeah. It was easy to doubt him when you had Dez and Jason Witten and Cole Beasley still, and, you know, some of the players that he played with early on in his career, Travis Frederick and Tyron Smith and Zach Martin. But at this point, it's, you know, there's no other thing he could do to prove himself. Last year, number one quarterback in the NFL under pressure.
Yeah,
according to the majority of grading services. But Blogging the Boys looked at that one of the other narratives that has dogged him, which is you only play well against bad teams.
Right. Yeah.
Since the league moved to a 14-team playoff field in 2021, his career passer rating against playoff teams is 99, the third best amongst quarterbacks with at least 10 starts over that period. The rating against playoff teams is only marginally lower than his 99.3 passer rating against all teams, playoff bound or not, since 2021. So, I don't know, maybe that was a thing for the first half of his career. It hasn't been since 2021, unless you're getting more nuanced in your analysis. Maybe you have a way of explaining that away that I'm not aware of. Against playoff teams, Prescott plays at practically the same level as he does against lesser opponents, writes one cool customer. Becomes even more obvious when you look at the 2025 NFL averages. The average passer rating last year was 91.4. Against playoff teams, the average was 85.8, a drop of 5.6 points. Compared to that, Prescott's rating drops by 0.3. So not only is he playing better against playoff teams than most other quarterbacks, his performance drop is also much lower against playoff teams than for other quarterbacks. And then the final point is a closer look at the splits by opponent wins in the table below shows Prescott does have slightly better numbers against the truly terrible teams. Okay, they acknowledge that. And the real place he struggles, actually, and I don't know, is this random? Is this divisional opponent awareness? But the real place he struggles is actually against teams on the road that end up with between 6 and 8 wins.
That's weird.
Most notably on the road against Washington and New York.
Yeah, well, the Washington stuff is, that's just a funky place to play. In Washington, weird things have happened there. I mean, Brandon Aubrey, that's like a house of horrors for him right now, too. That's the one stadium where consistently Brandon Aubrey has struggled in. So that might just be familiarity, 100%. But, I mean, that's probably factoring in that super weird Jets game that was there when they end up losing and Sam Darnold ends up beating them. And the next week he's seeing ghosts and gets his ass kicked by Tom Brady and the Patriots. But, yeah, there is some that is strange, like the 6-8 team thing on the road.
Yeah. Are you overlooking them? Are you not up or as locked in where maybe it doesn't matter against the truly bad teams? You're still going to absolutely destroy them. But, you know, I think the divisional awareness, and plus, like, both those teams have had really good defensive lines. Not now for Washington. Last year really rock-bottomed. But when they had, Payne and who was the other gentleman in there?
Allen.
When they had Payne and Allen, they really put it on the Cowboys a couple of times. Okay, one breakout player to watch for every NFL team is where we go now here from The Athletic. And we're going to circle back around to Savone Rebel. Talked about him an hour ago. This is John Machota, a breakout player to watch for every NFL team. Here's what he said. Had it not been for a torn ACL, he might have been a first-round pick.
Yeah.
That's what Brian said, right? That's where you had him graded?
Yeah, I did.
Instead, he fell to the third, where the Cowboys selected him 76th. Recovery from knee injury prevented him from appearing in a game last week till week 11. Now fully healed, Rebel's in position to compete for a starting corner spot, has the ideal size, 6'2", 200, strength and athleticism. Corner is one of the biggest question marks on this roster. If you could say Savone Revel's going to be good and he is going to be the breakout player for the Cowboys, what would it mean for this defense?
Wow. Look, I think that would probably allow you then to be able to do a lot more things with Caleb Downs. I don't know that you're forced to necessarily have to play Caleb Downs in the slot, because I then think it would mean that maybe Kobe Durant could be kicking inside and playing. So I think right now, with the doubts of Revel and Bland, and doubt might not be the right word for it, just kind of, one, he's not proven, and then you've got the health stuff with Bland, it's like, okay, we got to have Kobe Durant on the outside. But it'd be huge. I mean, the cornerback is probably one of the biggest, if not the biggest, question marks coming into the season. And if Revel can play with confidence and ends up being a breakout stud player, this defense is easily middle of the pack, in my opinion.
I worry about a position where a guy has to use his legs or his feet to play at corner, and I don't necessarily know, and I probably will get a text message here in the next 5 minutes for saying this, I'm just not totally convinced about Bland and his overall health. So if you told me that Savone Revel could be a guy that will play well, it would make me feel a lot better about not having to use somebody else, you know, at corner. I mean, this team went through it all last year. Just pick any guy off the street you want to play and play him at corner, and it just didn't work. So if you told me Revel would play at a high level, that'd make me feel better about Bland, because if I know if something happened to Bland, that I could just plug him in and we'll be fine. You know?
I mean, they're going to bring so many bodies, but I don't feel like they have anybody they can count on, really.
They don't, and we've talked about this while you were gone. Would you carry 10 or 11 defensive backs? Would you carry extra defensive backs just because you don't, until you know how healthy, you know, everybody goes through the season, you're probably going to need more bodies than any other position. So, yeah, I think that to me is the biggest question of what's with this team is how things going to shake out at the cornerback spot.
Isaiah Likely, tight end with the Giants, their breakout player to watch here in this story. The Athletic, Harbaugh bringing him over. He never topped 42 catches or 477 yards in his 4 years with the Ravens. Kind of a hit, but they let him go and Linderbaum go. A couple of departures there from the Ravens offense. I'm always curious how it lands when you're the new coach that brings in somebody from your old team. I think that can be troublesome. If you got players on your new team that are looking to get paid and you bring in somebody that blocks that paying in one way or another, sometimes it can prevent you from getting off on the right foot. But I'm doubtful of the Harbaugh move. That doesn't scare me that much. So maybe I'm biased in that way of looking at it. Eagles, Jahad Campbell, their linebacker, after losing N'Kobe Dean to the Raiders, that one is huge. Physical tools stand out in the middle of the defense. 6'3", 235, ran a 4.52. Campbell has the length and range to be a force in coverage, and the Eagles think there's a burgeoning pass rush skill set in there as well. Started 10 games last year, played 63% of the snaps, but the defense was clearly better with N'Kobe Dean on the field.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
That's interesting right there. If that doesn't come together, it's Tim and Zach Bond.
Went back and watched Philadelphia and how they play their fronts, and Campbell was having to fight a lot of blocks. And I think that wasn't the easiest thing for him to have to deal with. Bond can clearly do that, but I think when you're talking about the other guy, I mean, Dean clearly was the better. Campbell had his moments. Campbell can really run. Campbell's a good athlete, but man, when it came to the physical part of having to take those guys on, that's where the struggles were for him. That's worth keeping an eye on, you know, running the ball at Philadelphia. Can you find a way? You would much rather try and run it at him if you can get second-level blocks than you would with Bond.
We need dominoes to start falling for Philadelphia to push their defense out of the top 10, you know? And if you can do that, then I really think there's a chance they could finish with just 8 or 9 wins, because I don't think their offense is going to be great. I know in the quarterback rankings, Jalen Hurts ranked 17th.
Yeah.
And, you know, Super Bowl winner who was in the top 5 of the MVP conversation just a couple of years ago. But like last year was a real collapse for him and he needs a huge bounce back year, or I imagine they're going to be looking for their next guy. With the Commanders, it's Jerron Payne, the defensive tackle, and it's crazy they're talking about him being a breakout candidate here in The Athletic.
Like a re-breakout?
Yeah, he's been in the league for 8 years.
Jerron Payne is getting set to break out?
Okay, so the justification is he's got a track record of elevating his play in contract season. So right before he got the 4 years and 90 mil, he had his best year. And since then, he's played pretty average. So they're saying maybe he breaks back out into being an actual star player. Here's an interesting and unusual real-life trend. 49% of young adults today in America living with their parents. This is under 25 years old. Half of you out there. Living with your parents.
I'm jealous.
Yeah.
Jealous.
That was me.
Man, get some meals and some laundry.
Pretty clutch.
Some hanging out with dad.
Yeah.
In 2019.
The bills.
The bills.
The bills, bro.
My goodness.
Man, pops, here's $1,000, dog. Come on, baby. I can't wait to get that to you.
In 2019, the number was 37%. So in 7 years, it's grown about 30% or so of young adults living with their parents. I think it just shows how much more expensive things have become.
Very.
You know, a 4 pound of hot dog, a 4 pack of those jalapeno dogs.
Yeah,
you seen them? You know the ones?
Yeah.
$9.99.
It's crazy. It's unbelievable, dude. Everywhere you turn.
Yeah,
I mean it's
candy $2.50. Snickers bar $2.50.
The prices. Oh, I bought a bag of candy for the desk over here on the other side. It was $21.
Yeah,
just assorted candy.
Mm-hmm. I figure Halloween's going to set me back $300 this.
I believe it.
Coming up this October with these damn candy prices.
Makes you feel different about going and stealing a bunch of candy off those desks.
Well,
huh?
I tell you what, I feel bad for stealing the candy, and then I'm like, okay, I got to bring my own candy.
Yeah.
I bring candy.
I'll replace it.
I'll replace it, and then it was like $21, and I'm like, gosh, am I going to do this every week now? Maybe, probably so.
Once a month,
I'll keep doing it. Yeah. Just add on another podcast. That's all I have to do.
Just throw another one in there.
Just throw another podcast
in there. It's become so normal. I don't even know if the gals are going to ding you for this, you know, in the dating scene. I think it might just have to be something they accept now.
No,
I think so. I think they have to accept it
except
up until.
Broke dudes?
They do not want a broke dude. They do not want
to find a girl math
around
it.
They are not looking for a broke dude.
They'll just be 12 fighting for the one dude that's well off.
It is.
Yeah.
The way it works.
Broke dudes have no shot.
Oh, baby, I can afford to take you out to dinner because I'm not paying rent.
Yeah.
See, I got a spare $50.
Yeah. Girls do not look at dinner as like paying for something. They don't see that as being like, now if you're going to pay bills and stuff like that.
Oh my god.
That's where they
hey, put our bills. Come on.
But they don't look as dinner. That's something that's not doing anything for them. That's
standard practice.
And there's gals that are charging guys to go out with them. And I'm not talking about like ladies of the night type of thing. But like if you want to go out with me, you have to get a couple hundred bucks.
You
got
to pay me a few hundred bucks to go on a date with you for you to buy me dinner.
Yeah.
That's wild.
That is insane.
That's awesome. Thank you. Appreciate you telling me that.
Yeah. It's a non-starter.
I'll call you right back.
Yeah. Yeah. You have fun with that.
Yeah.
We always talk about the high value guy. Everybody's looking for the high value guy. Nobody. If you don't have money, but you're a high value guy, then you just get trampled on.
Man,
sounds miserable out there.
Yeah. I'm so glad I'm out of that game.
Yeah, me too. Found the love of my life.
Samesies.
Okay, we got.
Right,
let's go with the Pimp Cup. We're loose as hell.